The Cat on the Tapes. Ingeborg came to tell us that she was working in the Shangri-La, and she was in the archives room of the Shangri-La, and as she was working, she had different boxes sitting around that she was adjusting and setting up to be in good order. And one box had something in the cats, a group of three boxes, that the cats like to sit on top of, at least one cat. And that cat was Blackie sitting on it. Oh, this was the cat that came from the other house, right? Mm-hmm. And we call it Blackie? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Blackie was sitting on it. And Blackie is not a normal cat. Blackie has a small head, reasonably good-sized body, and a long tail, and very interesting coloring of her hair, or its hair. Black with sort of a orange, not orange, but black with a...
Khaki.
Is it a khaki?
Brown color.
I thought it was sort of like a reddish mm-hmm. color, like rust. It looked like streaks of rust through their black hair.
Some yellow, I think.
And the black hair wasn't totally black. Mm-hmm. It was sort of a tinted hair. But anyhow, it's a very unusual cat.
Thin fur.
Very thin fur, yeah. Yeah, but it's very healthy, and it loves to live outdoors, and it fends for itself very well. Well, this cat is an interloper. It has come from another property and just happened to be there when we bought the property. And so it stayed. And its owner made no effort to come back and get it because they thought that it would be hard to catch. So the cat became a part of the university cat. And it had taken over the responsibility for the Oasis and the Shangri-La. Well, right now its duty house is the Shangri-La. And it works with Ingeborg whenever she's there. When Ingeborg is there, all the cats just seem to sort of gather around her and say, what can we do to help? I have a feeling that Ingeborg is sort of like a Cinderella, where these little mice sew her clothing for her and do her work for her. All she does is go over there and meditate, you know. That's why her work gets done in such quick time. She has all these helpers. So the other day, Ingeborg was working in the archive room there, and this cat was looking for a place to settle down. And there were a number of boxes all about the same height, all about the same location, but they were along the wall there or wherever it was. And this cat decided there's only one box that would do. And it curled on top of the box and curled on top of the box and curled on top of the three boxes and settled down. And Ingeborg thought, why is the cat settling down on these three boxes when the other boxes could be much more comfortable? The other boxes were larger, she could spread out better, but she went for this one box. And so later, Ingeborg opened the box, and inside of it she found hundreds and hundreds of tapes that I had made over the years. And the cat was lying in the box listening to the tapes. Now you say, how could a cat listen to tapes that didn't have a tape recorder to play them? Well, what is it that you hear when you hear a tape? What is it that anybody hears when they hear a tape? Do they hear the words? Do they hear the ideas and thoughts that are being given? That'd be nice if they did. But they feel the vibrations of the tape. They feel just the singular vibrations of the tape, and they have no idea why they like certain tapes and why they don't like others. Have you noticed, historically, the very busy people are not great readers, but they know that if they have the great books in their library, they'll be considered great readers. And so wealthy people always build one room of their homes they call the library. They're in the TV room all the time, but they build it and call it the library. And in the library, they have books. And these books are beautifully bound, leather bound, beautifully annotated, and so on. And what are these books about? Are these books about useless topics, as we might say, that are here today and gone tomorrow? Or are these books about beautiful things like Shakespeare and other great authors, Plato, Socrates, and Homer, and who knows, and some of our current authors and philosophers and psychologists, and books of religion and books of philosophy. And all these books, what happens when this man walks into his library filled with his books? He feels the great vibrations that are there, and he promptly goes to sleep. He feels one with all these great books. Now, can you have a bunch of what are called trash books and go to sleep in that same room? Yes. But people who fill their rooms with trash books, these are books of little account or little high value to it, however anyone describes the value, but they just are not the type of books that you'd give to your mother on her birthday. And yet you have them in your own library, and yet you probably even read them. Now, what are you filling your consciousness with? You're filling your consciousness with the facts, the words, the unhappiness. And then when you have unhappiness in your life, you say it's everything else except you filling your life with those books of strange consciousness. Okay, what was the cat doing? The cat was lying on these cassette tapes in this box, many of them in there, and she was soaking up the vibrations. Now, why was she soaking up the vibrations? She was soaking up the vibrations because this was part of her scheme of being totally aware. Cats, too, are in the oneness. Cats, too, are in the allness. Cats, too, are in the awareness of divinity and so forth. Now, when you go to bed tonight, look around your room and see what kind of books you have around your room. I know you don't have too many of them, but look at the books you have around your room. And don't make it easy on yourself. Be honest. Glance through the index of every one of your books. Many you know, but glance through the index of those you're not sure of, and see if you really want those books in your presence while you're sleeping. Because those books have a tendency to become part of you while you're sleeping, and you don't know it. It's the vibrations that they are. It's the attitude that is in these books, and it can become very, very powerful and very destructive. Now, are these bad attitudes that are there? No. Are they good attitudes? No. I think Ellen gave us a good illustration the other night, and my wife always does. As we were watching a movie that was distressing to Ellen, she got up and left, like some of the rest of you did. Instead of watching the movie and releasing all those things that were negative and only accepting the positive, can you do that? That's tough. That's a lot of work to accept only the positive. Why make yourself all that work? Well, because you are sleeping with a lot of trash. You have a lot of books in your rooms that are not harmonious with where you say you want to go. Think about it. Think about it. Be one-pointed. You should have one book in your room that should say, I like me, I'm God, God I am, I'm the creator of my world, and all is in divine order. That's all. Makes it easy, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, what sort of literature, what sort of artwork goes with that? Interesting. Have you ever seen an illumined book? A book that has been put with beautiful scroll work in it and beautiful filigree and gold and all that kind of stuff on the inside pages. You not seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well now, that's called an illustrated book. Later, the illustrated book became the comic book where they put comic pictures and stuff. But the illustrated book, why did they have all this artwork scrolling around these statements? They had this artwork scrolling around these things to embellish the book itself, to make the book look all the more beautiful. And so you might read what it says, and you might not. But at least you will get the feeling. Now, we have that one hanging up over, I think it's, where is it, at the Oasis or at the Citadel, perhaps. It's that illumined page from the Bible. our songbook, from one of the songbooks the monks had used. And that should really be in the monastery here. But anyhow, that's an illumined book. Now, why do they illumine them? They put love in them. And they put a lot of feeling into it, because they want everyone to get vibrations from it. Does this help the vibrations of a book? Doesn't hurt them. But what helps the vibrations of the book the most? The content. Now, is it that the book has to be long and have a lot of content? No. It's that the book has pure content, pure beautiful thoughts in it, pure positive dynamic thoughts in it. Now, most of the books that have come to us out of the medieval ages are not books of quality, because they are books that are putting people down. They're telling them they're sinners, they're telling them they're terrible. Whoever wrote those books was really having a great old bash. And that destroyed that era. That's why the medieval ages are called medieval and not really beneficial. But what came out of that?
The Renaissance.
And what was the Renaissance?
That's a new beginning.
The Renaissance was the new beginning?
New birth.
And a new birth? Mm-hmm. Where did they get the new beginning from? If it's a new beginning, was it a new beginning that they went back to the beginning of the book, or that they went back to the beginning of time? Or is it that they just started over with a new emphasis?
Mm-hmm.
What was the new emphasis they started over with? You know. Just say it. That's right, positive thinking. That's what the new emphasis was, positive thinking. Before, they had belittling thinking. Now they're going to have positive thinking. Now, how could they make the switch like that? Because they separated the church from the state. See, the church used to run the state, and the state used to run the church. And they did that because they wanted to manipulate and control everything. But when they separated the church and the state, what happened? Then the church could become less dramatic, and the state could become more reasonable. Now, how could the state become more reasonable? It's not on the irresponsible, unprovable concepts that the church uses. See, the church used all these biblical statements which were not provable. And that's what made it hard for the state to follow that. But the state did it, and they lived up to it, and they bore down on it, like King who? What king? King John, remember him?
No.
Well, who was his predecessor?
Arthur.
King Atha.
Atha?
Atha.
Arthur.
Arthur. Arthur. Yes. Well, what did King Arthur do? He was a magical king, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Why was he a magical king? He had a magical mentor as his teacher. Did he pull the sword out of the stone?
Yes.
Who put the sword in the stone?
Merlin.
Right. And who helped Arthur take the sword out of the stone?
Merlin.
Right. Why?
Because that was part of his experience.
That was part of Arthur's program.
Program.
Mm-hmm. Part of the program was to be great, to be wonderful. Now, what happens when you read books like books about King Arthur? King Arthur wasn't a great king. Everybody loved him, but he wasn't a great king. You know why he wasn't a great king? He didn't collect taxes like he should have and maintain the kingdom. He wanted to work with the people. So, these are things for us to think about now. The cat was lying on the tape because of the vibrations. You have books in your library, in your room, in your quarters that are not necessarily supportive of the direction you're going. You say, well, why not? They're talking about this. They're talking about... Are they really? Or are they giving you a lot more things like we do? Why am I giving you Jonathan Livingston Seagull and Illusions and the Living with the Himalayan Masters and Dweller on Two Planets and stuff like that? Why do I give you those things? Why do I give you the Kinship with All Life and the other books, Quiet?
Master teachers. To have an objective opinion about them.
Are you supposed to believe in them?
No, just to read them. And
what are they supposed to stimulate? Your imagination. Stimulate your inner thinking. What is it these tapes did to that cat?
Stimulated her imagination.
Who was the greatest animal? Which was the greatest animal in the courts? Especially Egypt.
Cats.
That was easier. I got to give you a clue to get you down there. Okay, cats. Why were cats some of the most important beings within a court?
Because of their sensitivity.
Because of their sensitivity. Now, what are they sensitive to?
Vibrations.
Invisible. And can they teach us how to be sensitive to invisible vibrations?
Mm-hmm.
And could we learn something by those cats? Mm-hmm. So now all run out and get a box of tapes and put them under your pillow. No. But be careful of the vibrations you have in your environment. The vibrations you have in your room, the vibrations you have in the books that you read and the things that you do. I mean, because we got books here that don't have good vibrations.
Yes,
okay.
Then let's take them out.
Yes, we should. But you choose. You choose. Now, just because the books are books on religion or books on philosophy doesn't mean they're bad vibrations. Books that are on dogma are often bad vibrations.
On dogma.
This is what they believe, which is contrary to what you believe.
Would that mean, for instance, another religion of Buddhism, Christianity, even the Bible has dogma?
It does.
We have a lot of Bibles here.
And what are you supposed to believe in?
What Jesus taught.
The Bible within yourself. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What Jesus taught true, that leads us to the Bible within ourselves.
Right.
But that's what we really want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we have any books to teach that?
Yes, ours.
Ours? Mm-hmm.
Our inner book.
I'm not discouraging you from reading other things. I'm discouraging you from judging and coming to conclusions about it.
Mm-hmm.
So read everything in the light of who you are. And then, if it has any value to it, go for it. If not, don't. The horse may be the most beautiful horse in the world, but if it is an unstable or dangerous horse, it's unstable and dangerous. All its beauty will not hide a death that it causes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't think of that. You cannot harbor things in your world that are going to be damaging to you without being damaged. So look through them. Now, you'll notice we're getting steps closer, closer and closer. First, we got rid of Jesus. We kept the Christ. We got rid of our photographs. We kept our personal photographs of who we are. We'll look at pictures now and then, but that doesn't mean we worship them. And we're getting rid of all negative words. We're getting rid of ownership and possession. There's a lot more things that are going to go, you'll see. It's a lot of fun. So, the cat on the tapes. She listened to the vibrations. Now, what about you? What are you listening to? Are you listening to the vibrations, or are you listening to the cat on the tape? Think about it.